Excellent. Well, hopefully that's woken everyone up this morning. Some wonderful words we've sung. And we'll comment on some of those words as well. Funny enough, actually, just listening to that song, I didn't realise there's actually some really powerful words in there as well, which very much linked to what we're going to talk about this morning. So, found another song that I didn't actually mean to read, but did anyway, it worked. So, it's all good. It's all good. This morning, we're going to take our reading from Romans. We are going to be looking at Romans 8, 31 to 39. I have it on the screen, just in case you haven't got your Bible with you. If you have, please turn your Bible to the reading. And the verse starts, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Sung that morning. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Amen. Some really powerful words in that statement. and I know Mike, I was here for Mike's talk at the beginning. I missed last week because I was on holiday in the Netherlands, my first holiday of the year. But it's, you know, there's not too many worse places to be writing your sermon at poolside. With all these children running around, making a lot of noise, but jumping in and out of pools, in and out of flumes and lazy rivers. And so, yes, a lot of my notes from this sermon actually made whilst I was on holiday, because I thought, you know, it was perfect time. No work to interfere, no home life really to interfere. We're there to enjoy ourselves and relax. So whilst I thought I was kind of sitting there, I thought I'd write most of this sermon here and then top and tail when I got home. As I can say, safely say, we traversed four countries during our trip. So we came from England, we went through France, we went through Belgium, and we went to the Netherlands. So the words have travelled far and come back again. but just to open in the word around justify, because that's what our focus is. We're talking about justification, we're talking about justify or justified. And it comes from the Latin word just us, which I actually really like, because if you split it, it's just us. Mm-hmm. It's us and God, isn't it? Justify us and God. Just us. That's what I really love. And then we move into the Christian Latin word, which is justificare. So again, another word I really liked when I looked it up. I thought, like, oh, justificare. Care and justification. Justification and care. Sounds really pleasant, doesn't it? Sounds really nice. But when I put that into a word, it turned around and said, that's spelled wrong. That's definitely wrong. I don't know what you mean. What are you talking about? So it doesn't know. It's a very old word. And then I looked through the next sort of level of that, through that translation, and that translation of care actually means do justice to. That's what it means. And then if we look through the next nation, which actually we turn to the French, the French then took the word and they made justifier, that's their version of it, and then we add the English on the end, which is just, and to create justify. That's the etymology of that word had gone through four different languages. Very much like my words have travelled through four different countries. So there we go, four different languages. But most importantly, what we're concerned about is the definition of that word, of justify, is to declare and make righteousness in the sight of God. That's our focus. I don't think we're too fussed about the alignment of our letters on the page. But I want to bring five key points this morning from that verse. And then I'm going to distill it down, and I'm hopefully going to bring it to a one thing I want you to do when you walk out of here this morning. That's my challenge. I challenge myself to do that. so if we look at the first key point, is God's justifying love. in this statement. And it says in verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. And isn't that a real hard truth there? It's God who justifies everything that we do. And I found a little cross-reference, and I did check to make sure this hasn't been selected as one of the week's passages before I used it. But just before Romans 8, Romans 3, 21-26, if you want to turn to that, you can. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Those very famous words that do come up quite often. And all are justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so that as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. It's quite a long statement, but a very relevant statement. So God's justified us, and he did that through Jesus Christ. And the passage sort of elaborates on that concept of justification through faith, which is coming up next week, so I'm not going to tell too much into that, but it's very difficult to kind of separate the two, I have to say. You challenged me on this one, Mike. You're trying to separate the two. But we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we've all sinned, and it's through that justified faith that we have through Christ Jesus that we are redeemed. And God's love is not just a comforting presence, but it's also a declaration of righteousness through his sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So that's our first point, God's justifying love. The second point I want to talk about is freedom from condemnation, which is actually in the very beginning of verse 1. It says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And we sang it to him. And which song did we sing that from? 5 points to anyone who remembers where those words are? No condemnation, thou should dread.
And can it be?
And can it be? Exactly. So we sang that this morning. It's in that last verse. And I love that last verse because it's really rousing the words. When I sing it, I get really into that last verse. But we sang it in no condemnation, now I dread. So we don't need to dread that. And I love that last verse. It's really, really powerful. And that justification liberates us as believers from condemnation, allowing us to live without fear. And judgment or separation from God. And that was always a big fear, wasn't it? People feared in the Old Testament they were going to separate from God. God was going to leave them. And he never does. He never does. And it leads me nicely on to my third point, which is confidence in Christ. We need to have our confidence in Christ Jesus. In verse 34, it says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So that's the confidence that we have to have. We have to boast in that confidence, don't we? Boast in the confidence of Christ Jesus. We sung that as well. Again, didn't mean to do that, it just happened. But in Galatians 2:16, there is a nice little cross-reference here. It's, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, which I know we've covered already, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have to put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. It's a simple truth. It's not through what we do, it's through justification through God. And God justified us through Jesus Christ. And I thought to say, you know, this emphasizes not just around our works and the law, but it is our faith. And I wanted to bring up this next slide. Does anyone recognize this man? I'm going to stand out much way so you can see. Anyone recognize this guy? He is a golfer. That is the first point. Does anyone know who he is? Anyone recognize his face? Okay, that's fine. I'm not a mad golfer myself, but this is something I read when I was on holiday, and I thought it was fabulous. And this is this really shows an individual's confidence in Christ. So this man here is Scottie Scheffler. Now Scottie Scheffler is a US golfer. He just won the Masters a couple of weeks ago, again for the second time, one of the biggest tournaments in golf. If you look at some of his most recent efforts, he's turned professional age 22. He's number one in the world currently. His most recent win is US Masters. He's won in 2024. He won the Players' Championship this year. He's tied second, tied third, tied eighth. And you'd think, someone of this caliber, you'd think, wow, he's amazing. He's done some fabulous stuff in the world of golf. He must be on top of the world. But do you know what? He was in the clubhouse at this, on the Saturday Masters. He was in the lead, I think, by 3 or 4 strokes. And he was sort of saying, oh, yeah, I've got a really good chance of winning. And do you know what? This is what I love about this. His friends turned around and said, one of his chums said this. My buddies told me this morning my victory was secure on the cross. And that's a pretty special feeling to know that I am secure forever. And it doesn't matter if I win this tournament or lose this tournament, my identity is secure forever.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that amazing? Those words, and they were on the BBC website, and I read them. I read them in a number of other articles, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. Now, he did say some other things that the BBC conveniently left out, which is a shame. But those words were there, right there. And that's all he said in the press conference. He sort of talked about his game, said, I'm playing really well, of course it's really difficult. And then he thought everyone started asking him the question, yeah, do you think you're going to win? Do you think you're going to win? And he said, that's what his buddy's told him. And then he went out and won. And look at that, a man of, you know, in golf, you know, he's a US guy, he's born, he's been brought up Catholic, he is confirmed in the Catholic Church, but I just think it's a fabulous statement for his friends to say. Not even he didn't say it, his friends told him. You know, he was obviously focused very much on the game, and then he just thought to myself, do you know what? The game's not important. That's what's important.
Yeah.
You know, that is confidence in Christ, is it not?
Yeah.
Real confidence. And to me, again, I just want to say this, it's the emphasis of being able to be confident and being able to talk about our faith with people. I get scared sometimes when I talk about it. I expect some, you know, challenges, and I don't mind challenges, I'm fine with challenges. But it's sometimes you just kind of get a bit worried about talking about that. You just don't really want to say anything, just in case you upset someone or offend someone. There's so much around that, but this guy just proves that you can be number one in the world at a sport and you can still be confident in Christ. This guy, on to my fourth point. My fourth point is called the unbreakable connection. And I talked about this in the verses, verses 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else, nor creation, will be able to separate us from God that is in Christ Jesus. So those are the phrases. Now, who knows this man? Yeah, so this man is a little bit more recognisable, and he's a handsome fellow. Fabulous swimmer, probably the best swimmer our country's ever produced. And again, just look at how much he has achieved. At age 18, he's a professional. He holds 3 world records that still haven't been today. He's held 14 in his lifetime. And his achievements are, he's got 3 gold medals, he's got 10 world championship medals, 7 Commonwealth game medals, and 16 European championship medals. I mean, phenomenal talent, right? Mm-hmm. You can't get too much better than that. He is going for his, I think, his 3rd Olympics in France, and he's aiming to match Michael Phelps to win 100 meter breaststroke 3 times in a row. So again, phenomenal chap. But this is what really brought down to earth to me when I was reading this article. He said, I spent most of my life kind of validating, getting my gratification or life's fulfillment from my results, and that led me to some dark moments. Being an athlete is 365, 24/7. You never have a normal aspect of life where you can do what you want. It had me in tears in the pool. I was like this. It isn't worth it anymore. I don't want to do this. So you can think, a man of his caliber, he's trained all his life, he's done all these amazing things, and yet he's in the pool at the end of a competition and he doesn't do it anymore. You know, the pressure of having to win and constantly win because he's that good has got to him. And it took him to some very dark places. Now, he's suffered from bouts of depression, he's suffered from alcohol abuse, he split with his partner, who they've got a child with. But back in sort of 2023, he spoke to 5-time Olympic champion, who's now the chaplain of the Olympic team, Ashley Knoll, and she helped him put his identity into perspective. And she took him to church. And now he says, I go to church every Sunday in Nottingham. It's been the last few months, and it's definitely helped. It's about being a better person. Not only about it being a better athlete and fulfilling my gift, which is fantastic. I love the fact that he's recognised he's been given a gift, but also being a better dad for George, his son. And there are so many other reasons. It gets quite deep, but it's great to be a part of. Now, clearly, he's obviously talking to the press and, you know, can't go too much detail, but isn't it wonderful that someone has walked away? He clearly had a faith. He's walked away. He found that faith in 2023, reignited it in 2024, and has come back to church and says, I go every Sunday. He's in Nottingham. He's very close to where my office is. and he's come back to God. And doesn't that show and demonstrate that unbreakable bond between us and God? No matter what we do, whether we fall short, whether we fall long, whether we fall deep, whether we fall heavy, God is always going to be there. And he's come back and he said, this is what has driven me, this is what has built me back up again. And I think it's a fabulous example of someone who's lost their way and they've really found that because God has never left them. He's never left them. And I think those verses and that story demonstrate how that justification just creates that unbreakable bond for us with God. And then my final point I want to make is living in that justification. And I want to encourage you that through obedience, through faith, and extending God's love and grace to others, we can live that justified life. And there's a really good, nice cross-reference I found in Titus, of all the books that I looked through when I was writing this, Titus 3, 5-7, he said, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful promise there, you know, that we are going to have that hope of eternal life. And I think that signifies God's mercy in that washing and rebirth, which he poured out to us generously. And that's how we can live that justified life through grace, through God, through faith, all of those things. And to distill it all down, I think our call to action really is we need to embrace and celebrate that gift of justification, which should urge us all to walk, as Adam has, as Scotty Scheffler does, as all these other athletes that I love reading about, and these two just happened to pop up when I was on holiday, in our identity, you know, understanding and knowing that we are Christians, that we follow Jesus. People ask me all the time, you're Christian, you follow religion. And I was like, nope, I follow Jesus. Yeah. Follow Jesus, that's what I do. And they go, well, what's that? So follow Jesus. And Jesus leads me in my life. And so I am confident in my identity that I'm a child of God, that we're all children of God, and we share that good news. And it's those others not yet know that freedom and assurance that it brings. Adam clearly did, and he lost it, and he's come back to it, which is fabulous. You know, Scottie Scheffler's had it all of his life. But to be surrounded by people that can be confident and say, do you know what, your victory is secured. Your victory is secured. Your victory is secured. You don't need to win anything or lose anything or do anything. The victory is secured. It's done. There is no more. And again, that is my call to action today, that we are conquerors with that faith.